Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, let's rock and roll. Joe Fortenbaugh, Dan Dibley, and the return of Lorenzo Neal. What's good, Lo?
Man, I'm back, brother. I'm back. I'm happy to be back, man. I had to go home and pay some respects, but glad to see you guys this morning.
Great to see you as well. Great to have the listeners out there tuning in. We're action-packed today, so get ready to buckle up for the ride. Raider Nation, I know you might have some ill will towards this individual, but to be honest with you, how can you not respect the game? Game respecting game.
Nice.
LaDainian Tomlinson at 8 a.m. Randy Cross is going to join us at 7:30. Nick Hardwick for even more of a Charger Raider preview at 9:30. Warrior Assistant General Manager, 8:45. You know, I should probably read these chronologically rather than just talking about what's at 7, what's at 9, what's at 8. All right.
You got to keep people guessing, Joe. Keep them on their toes.
Keep them loose. Keep them loose. That's what we like to do around here. And the GOAT, Brad Evans, Yahoo Fantasy Sports, 1 hour from now to answer all your fantasy football questions, which any of you who may have questions, that means you're in the playoffs. Congratulations to you. The Knicks are in town tonight, boys. And you know what? For all the bagging I do on that team, they're not all that ferocious this year. 14-11 on the season. They're coming off a defeat, but they're 6-4 in their last 10, and they're averaging about 105 points per game. Now, their point differential is -2. So that's more indicative of a 500 to sub-500 team. So the fact that they're three games above 500, they're outperforming expectations. But more on that later. Tonight, the Warriors have the opportunity coming off some rest. They return home. Dibs, what's this homestand coming up?
It's three games, and then they have that three-game trip, and then after that, they're back home for another good, decent, long stretch. But this time, I think it's three games in 5 or 6 days, so kind of a relaxed homestand.
What is it overall, though, like 12 and 16?
I think that's the number. 12 the next 16 will be at home, but of course, the big trip coming up, Christmas in Cleveland, part of a three-game road trip, so not yet to the, quote, easy part of the schedule just yet.
And we're going to have more on that in about a minute. But first, here comes your update.
And those Warriors, Joe, are coming off that 4-1 road trip, opening up that three-game homestand with the Knicks in town. Then they'll face the Blazers Saturday, the Jazz on Tuesday before they head east. Steve Kerr on with Damon Bruce every Wednesday afternoon. Yesterday, he talked about Draymond's D.
He's obviously a tremendous all-around player. He had a triple-double last night. You know, his three-point shots going in, you know, he's our leading assist man. But it's his defense that really, to me, separates him from other players at his position around the league. He's tremendous.
Still saw some great defense from Draymond the last couple of games. Late defense as well, Joe.
I was talking about this with a friend last night. We have walk-off home runs, game-winning field goals, game-winning buzzer beaters, shootout wins in overtime in hockey. You know what Draymond Green has brought to the table now? The walk-off defensive stop. That wasn't just an anomaly the other night. He's been doing that all season. He makes the big defensive play on the final possession to ice the game. Draymond Green is a walk-off defender.
It's like a stop-off instead of a walk-off.
I love it.
I like it, Joe. Story number two, it's week 15 in the NFL. It starts tonight. L.A. and the interim head coach, John Fossil, taking on the Seattle Seahawks. Mr. Primetime, welcome back. Good to see you again, but more importantly, good to have your primetime gift back. Who do you like tonight,
yeah,
Lolo?
I need a bounce back. You know, Baltimore let me down. You know, I felt bad for the people and the fans out there. It was pretty hot. But I'll tell you what, this one you can take it to the bank. Take it to the bank. Seahawks win, and they win big.
It's probably going to be big. My boy JG, Jared Goff from Marin Catholic High School, could pose a threat to that Seattle defense. 4 TDs and 5 picks for Jared. 0-4 in his 4 starts. Story number three, the San Jose Sharks. Another game, another shootout win, this time 4-3 over Ottawa. Chris Tierney equalized Kevin LeBanc, the winner in the shootout. The
update.
Thank you. The update brought to you by Barron's. See Barron's in Hacienda Crossings in Dublin. It's worth the drive from everywhere. Barron's, a legacy of elegance. I'm Dan Dibley on your home of the Warriors. Tonight, our coverage starts at 6 right here on 95.7 The Game.
And thank you, Dibs. That coverage will begin at 6, Warriors warm-up featuring Damon Bruce and Kerry Keating. Also note today, JT the Brick loaded. Eric Allen at 11 a.m., Ernie Johnson at 11:30, Rod Woodson at 11:45. There are a lot of ways to try and quantify the Kevin Durant effect. Since he has landed in Golden State, what has he meant to the offense? What has he meant to the defense? What has he meant to the team, the landscape of the Western Conference? It goes on and on and on. It's a fascinating story because he's such a remarkable player. His presence or lack thereof in Oklahoma City can have a ripple effect that goes all the way around the league. In terms of the Las Vegas over-under, just listen to this for a second. The guy's tasked with handicapping the scoring. Tonight's point spread, the Warriors minus 14, an over-under of 224 total points. Now let's put this in perspective. Last season without Durant, still the highest scoring, most explosive offense in the game. In 82 regular season games, there were 28 instances where the Vegas total was 220 points or more. 28 of 82, that's 34%. This season, the Warriors have played 26 games.
Right.
They've already had 19.
Wow.
With a total of 220 or more. That's 73% of their games are totaled at 220 or more points, and tonight is another one. I know that might seem like, oh, Vegas mumbo jumbo, I don't care, but the Durant effect. He comes in, the scoring, the explosiveness of this offense, we've talked about it before, Dibs, the idea that, well, the defense might not be great. Well, how great does it really need to be when we're talking about a potentially historical offense?
Doesn't have to be great right now, but in the playoffs when things slow down, that's when you'll need to have a better half-court defense. But for now, you can get up and down. You can average close to 120 a game, which, by the way, they won't scare the record set by the Denver Nuggets, 128 points a game. They're not going to approach that, but they're putting up numbers that we didn't see a half a generation ago when games were routinely high 70s, mid 80s, and it was a grinded out style. The rules help the Warriors. Getting KD helps. And the thing that I like the most about Kevin Durant is that he's not a ball stopper. He has allowed them to play even faster than they did last year.
Lo, you advocate the defensive side of the ball, field, ice, what have you, like no other, because you understand the value of it, because you played against it for at least 16 years in just the National Football League. We're not even talking Fresno State and all the high school success.
Sure.
In a seven-game series, however, how important is that D going to be? How important? Are you going to be able to win 4 of 7 against LeBron if you don't have top five defense like you have in the past? Will this offense be enough for 4 and 7?
I look at it, Joe, a couple ways. Of course, I know defense is going to always be premium. But when you have this many shooters and you're this diverse and you have guys from 1 to 5 that can shoot the ball pretty well, even Draymond, when he's on. So, yeah, can they still win a series? Not maybe against the Cavs, but I'll tell you right now, the Cavs, can they keep up with this Warrior team consistently in a 7-game series? I just don't see it happen. It's just too many weapons that you have to stop, have to defend, and you know this defense is going to continue to grow. And KD, he brings a lot of defensive prowess to this team. You see his shot blocking ability, blocking big men. He does way more than just score. KD's playing great defense as well.
The Knicks are in town tonight, and any time the Knicks get mentioned, I can't help but think of Phil Jackson. Took over in March of 2014. 5 years, $60 million for the guru, the Zen master, one of the great basketball minds of all time. Since Phil Jackson's arrival, the Knicks have gone 73 and 131. They're winning 35% of their games, and they play in the East. They don't have to run into OKC and Portland and Golden State and the Clippers and Houston on a regular basis. They've gone through 4 coaches, or in fact, they're on their 4th. Mike Woodson, Derek Fisher, Kurt Rambisch, Jeff Hornacek. More importantly, they traded for Derrick Rose. That's $21 million this year, and it's not really working out. And they signed Joakim Noah to a 4-year, $72 million deal. You know what that $17 million this year is getting you? 4 points and 7 boards in 22 minutes a night. Plus, he can't play the fourth quarter in tight games because he's a liability. Guy getting paid that much can't be a liability in the fourth quarter. Is Phil's lack of success in New York with the Knicks something that will tarnish his otherwise pristine legacy?
I think it might tarnish it a little bit, but he still is going to be able to hoist, 12 rings as a coach? That's That's pretty tough to smite if you're looking to throw shade on a guy's career. Yes, it hasn't worked out in New York. He's made some high-priced mistakes that don't look very good so far, but the script is yet to be written on this Knicks team. You can limp in. You can limp in, Lo, at 40-42. You can make some noise. Or you're going to go through Toronto and Boston. It's not a vaunted run you have to make through the East.
Coach, and that's why his record is going to be tarnished. That's why his whole legacy is going to be tarnished. Just what you just alluded to. Joe, I don't have time. We better go to break because I could just tear this up. This guy, it's about him. Phil Jackson, people or not, people want to believe it or not, it's about him. It's easy to be a soldier when ain't no war going on. He had Michael Jordan. You look when he had Kobe and Shaq. Yeah, you won some championships. Absolutely.
12.
But you got 12. Now, what's going on now, Coach?
You know what? Is Phil's legacy tarnished if he doesn't find another level of success in New York? Lowe's going to go right back into that in a couple minutes. It's Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Welcome back. Brad Evans, Yahoo Fantasy Sports at 7 to answer all your playoff questions. LaDainian Tomlinson at 8 a.m. He was just riding your coattails all those years. We're going to ask him right about that. What's it like having offensive line holes open up to the point with a Mack truck in front of you to where no one would ever touch you? I mean, he's basically just running a 40-yard dash.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. Because what you know,
he'll get mad.
John Sally, we're together a couple months ago. Me and LT, John Sally, we had this event.
A one percenter event, I take it.
And Sally was like, I introduced myself. I was like, yeah, I know when LT's right there. He's like, psh. He goes, LT, hang on. This is the guy everyone really need to be talking to. And I saw LT, I'm like, don't do, oh. And I just saw my little man like, oh.
He gets mad.
He gets a little hot.
So he said, I got this
rightfully
right.
Rightfully so. Sally did, and he would start to, you know, Sally went a little troll a little bit. Well, yeah. LT's like, oh, okay. I'm like, come on.
So he wins the MVP in 2006.
Right.
He's like the number one fantasy football player for years. Everyone's talking
Absolutely.
About him. He has his little celebration in the end zone. He's got his visor.
Right.
He's got his whole thing going on, and he's in the spotlight for all of it.
Right.
And the one time someone tries to give Lo Neal a little bit of love, he gets all upset.
It was how Sally tried to do it. You know how these slicksters can be.
Sometimes you got to rise above. I'm in here working with slicksters every morning. I rise above. I keep it light. I'm a very friendly, affable guy. Right, Dibs?
That's what I've heard.
Wow, Dibs.
Question mark?
Wow, Dibs. Don't get uptight.
I kept it too real.
Don't
sorry.
Get scared now. WP.
Jody runs hot. I'm right next to him. You're all over there safe.
I was running hot this morning. I was running hot last night.
God.
My parents get in town later today. I'm going to be running hot then. It's like we're moving this week, and hey, we want to come out and see Nikki. Why? Because we want to see her pregnant. You saw her pregnant 3 months ago. We want to see her really pregnant. We want to see the belly. You live in Florida. You're coming all the way out. You're going to be out here in 2 months for the birth. No. We want to be here for this. We think it would be nice. Well, we're moving that week. It doesn't matter. Are you going to help move? Well, no. You know your father's back. What the hell's going on here?
What you got to see the baby. Here?
Dibs, I love it.
We want to see the baby. Yeah.
We got all these dinner schedules. It's like, can I have a say? There's only one person working through this whole equation. All right, speaking of work, New York Knicks are going to have to put in a lot of work tonight if they want to get past the Golden State Warriors as 14-point underdogs. We pitched this to you in the last segment. If you want to weigh in, 888-957-9570. Phil Jackson, if it doesn't turn around in New York, what does that do to his legacy? Pat Riley may not have the rings that Phil has, but he had success as both a coach and a front office exec. He's won titles at both levels. It doesn't necessarily mean Phil needs to win a title, but the Knicks are one of the pristine properties of the NBA. The NBA is better when the New York Knicks are a contender. Boston, the Knicks, the Lakers, that helps the NBA. Those are the cornerstone franchises. Golden State's on its way to being one, but they're relatively new.
Sure.
They're a millennial in the grand scheme of the NBA landscape as it comes to the cornerstone franchises. Phil, since taking over in March of 2014, the Knicks are 73-131. He's making $12 million a year. He's on his fourth coach, and he signed Joakim Noah to a four-year, $72 million deal, and it ain't working out. And there's 3.5 more years left on that thing. Low. If it doesn't turn around for Phil, how big of a black mark is this on an otherwise pristine resume?
It's going to be huge. It's going to be absolutely huge. Phil Jackson's going to be questioned is, was he really a great coach? And the answer probably going to end up turning out to be no if he doesn't win and change this thing around. It doesn't take this long to get into a playoffs. If you're Phil, you're supposed to be the Zen master. Why can't you win? You think about it. It's sort of like the Mike Tyson effect.
Mike Tyson could knock everyone out. But what happened when he fought Holyfield? See, Phil had his Mike Tyson when he had the Kobe and he was walking through it. When he's winning these championships, when he had MJ, Mike Tyson taking everyone out. But then what happens when Holyfield comes on and Riddick Bowe comes around? Those other fighters that necessarily you don't fight them. Holyfield, I had talked to him. We were friends, and he told me, look, he knew he could whoop Mike. They sparred before, and Mike ducked him. It's interesting. Phil Jackson, yeah, was he phenomenal doing running a triangle offense? When you got great athletes to run your system and do the things, yeah, you're going to look pretty good. But what happened now? He's in New York. Porzingis is not a bad player.
No, not at all.
You got some good players over there, and it's not coming together. Why? Phil, you're supposed to be the one. And then you fire all these coaches. You hired the coaches, and then 1 year, 2 years later, you're firing these same guys that you said that you're hiring? So what's going on, Phil? I don't think Phil's who he says he is.
I love the boxing analogy because you can look to the Alis and the greats, and at the end of their career, a lot of times boxers, they hang on just a bit too long, and they take a few defeats at the end that take a great record and make it look a little less impressive. Julio Cesar Chavez, for example, he fought so long, at the end, the losses piled up. It's happened to a lot of the greats, but largely, we can look at that record and acknowledge that and not necessarily count it.
Right.
And weight it
right.
The same way we would weight the wins.
Sure.
Is that the similar situation with Phil? If this doesn't work, it's like, yeah, it's just the end of the career. It's a little smudge, no big
Absolutely.
Deal.
Absolutely. He's 71 years of age, and I misspoke earlier. He won 11 titles as a coach. He was going for his fourth three-peat with the Lakers, and they failed to get that three-peat. He won two as a player. He'll be remembered as a coach. When you look back at the great executives in NBA history, his name's not going to come up, and that doesn't tarnish what he did as a coach. And anytime in the NBA you look at any of the NBA champions, usually the team that wins is the most talented team. So the fact that he presided over those teams and got them to win, that's what makes him such a great coach.
Pat Riley still won a championship both. And not just that, let's take another guy. Let's take a player too, just like Phil was a player. Let's take the great Larry Bird, okay? Let's look at this guy. Maybe he did not win a championship, but one thing you get out of Larry, he's going to compete, and he's going to be competitive, and he's going to have guys out there that he's going to put demands on them that they work hard. Phil's not getting that done. So you can say what you want. Maybe Larry hadn't won a championship outside of being on the court, but one thing Larry has done and one thing Pat's doing, at least you see competitive. When has Phil been competitive since he hadn't had those guys? And you mean to tell me Noah and all these guys, now all of a sudden they can't play basketball? When you look at yourself, when you become so arrogant and something is not working, when sometimes you got to change the system. And right now, Phil's not doing it, dude.
Lo, look at what they're doing this year. They're in third in the Eastern Conference, and granted, they're not 18-6. They're 14-11. You could say maybe they're underachieving, but they're right in the mix for a home playoff series.
The weakest conference in the world.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's like saying that it's Brock Osweiler's fault that they're leading the AFC South. You play in the division where you play. He's trying to make it New York. The Eastern Conference is the Leastern Conference, but they're in a position where they might be in the Eastern Finals.
All right.
Yeah, exactly.
They're the 3 seed right now, Joe, and if you're on the other side of the bracket, opposite Cleveland, you can't tell me that you're terrified to play Toronto, Boston,
Philadelphia, they're
yes,
getting
please.
Hot.
Chicago, there's no team you fear in the East other than Cleveland. So somebody has to face them in the Eastern Finals. If you're the 2 seed or the 3 seed, you're opposite Cleveland, and you have a great chance to make it all the way.
Interesting. Boom. The Phil dynamic and the question pertains to similarly to Belichick Brady. What happens if Brady retires and Belichick keeps going? Can he have as much success? If Brady had been drafted by the Browns or some other bottom feeder, would he have had as much success? How great could they be without each other? Phil, we know how great he could be with Michael and Scotty. We knew how great he could be with Kobe and Shaq. Now we're kind of seeing him out on his own trying to build something that's not working out. It's only been a few years. I get that. But again, to Dibs's point, it's the Eastern Conference. You should have a 500 product on the court when Melo is already there. It's Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Coming up next, your integrity will be put to the test. We're going to ask you a question. A lot of people were asked this question recently in the football world. Yes or no? And we'll find out a little bit more about ourselves. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Joe Lo and Dibs, thanks for checking in with us today. We really appreciate it. LaDainian Tomlinson at 8 a.m. 28 minutes from now at 7. Brad Evans, Yahoo Fantasy Sports. Fascinating fascinating story out of the world of college football. Now, before you sit here and say, I don't want to hear about college football. I want to hear about the Warriors or the Raiders. We're getting to all that. It's coming up in a few minutes. But Tommy Elrod, a former assistant coach at Wake Forest University, moved into the booth as the radio man in 2014 for Wake Forest. Intimately familiar with the program. He was a grad assistant there in the 90s. I mean, this guy has been around the team forever. Story breaks a couple days ago. Elrod has been accused of leaking confidential game plan materials to opponents. The radio play-by-play guy for Wake Forest.
Brutal.
Former coach at Wake Forest. Someone who had been around for a long time. Was taking materials that were used for game prep, say against Louisville or Army, and giving them or attempting to give them to the other team. Now, one team has been outed for having accepted these materials. Louisville.
What a surprise.
Shocking that Bobby Petrino, he of the motorcycle crash with his mistress while at the University of Arkansas, he of the, you know what, I'm done with the Falcons, I'm just going to go ahead and leave, and everything else he's left in his wake, has been outed as one of the teams that accepted the materials. Army is also apparently being accused of this. They are looking into it. The Wake Forest press release essentially implies that multiple teams were reached about the material, multiple teams took the material, but there were some teams who declined to take it. So I pose a question to you, because it's easy to sit here and say, no, I played above board. I'm a good person. Because inherently, we all want to believe we're good people. We all want to believe we're noble, honest people, but say you're at a school that needs a win to get to a bowl game. Say there's a big bonus in it for you. Say you have the opportunity to extend your job or do well enough that maybe a bigger job will come and you need that win over a school like Wake Forest. Dibs, if someone contacts you and says, here's the game plan for this week, you taking it?
I would say it would depend on who the opponent was. If I'm Louisville and it's Wake Forest, I probably am not taking it because I'm going to beat Wake Forest anyway. Now, if it's Clemson or North Carolina State, who was good this year.
Feisty.
Carolina was pretty good this year. If it's a team that I feel like I might have trouble with, then I think I would be more inclined to take it. And honestly, if I was in that situation in the hyper-competitive world of D1 sports and I was going up against Clemson at Clemson and I got my hands on the playbook, I'd have to say I'd take it, honestly.
I appreciate the honesty. I have a feeling I won't be getting the same from this next individual I'm going to bring in. Low.
Joe, it really hurts me and vexes me to my soul to think that you would think that I'm that cowardly to not be answer you truthfully and forthright. I really believe that it would be a tough issue, and I would hope that because of my beliefs and because of who I am as a person and because of my knowledge of football itself, I don't think that I would renege from taking it. Now, don't get me wrong. Coaches get on the phone with each other week in and week out, Joe, and they discuss game plans, who you're playing. I've seen it happen. And they share information. And I've even talked to guys on the same team and different things. Like, yeah, we're going to come at you or do whatever. They don't tell you necessarily. They tell you what they're going to do. They might even go as far as tell you the play because it's that competition.
It's more trash talk than it is anything else,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, we're going to run that deep post on your safety because he's no good. No,
right.
And you're not going to be able to do anything
Absolutely.
About it.
Absolutely. And you know they're going to do it. We're going to line up and we're going to run power. And we know your linebacker, he's going to get out the way. We know what we're doing. And you tell him and you guys are going to do it. But I think when it comes down to coaching integrity, guys will always tell after the game, before the game, Joe, coaches make you put your playbook inside of a bender because, especially on the road, because teams would walk through.
Because the Patriots exist.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah, no, you're right. And so people would walk through and say, make sure you put it away. So I just don't know, Joe. I think it's hard for you to say, why do I need an advantage? If you're a coach, well, you know teams, their tendencies, what they're going to do. So it's so hard, Joe, if you get a playbook and try to say, I'm going to defend for all this, then you're the jack of all trades and the master of none. So I don't think it really helps.
From the 510, every Raider fan knows damn well that if the radio broadcaster from the Broncos or Chiefs was disgruntled and wanted to leak some privileged information, you would take it in a heartbeat and then call your bookie, Jared in Fremont. I like that.
Yeah.
Personally, I wouldn't take the information. Now, before everyone goes nuts, it's just, you're lying, Fortinball. It's not because of any noble cause. I'm a conspiracy theorist, and I have trouble with trust trusting people, trust issues.
Sure.
I would think that this person was trying to rope-a-dope me. That's what I would think. Not for any noble reason that I would say, no, 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 I'm better than that. I'm honest and good. I would say, no, what are you trying to do here? You trying to give me something to have me look one way while you
go
switch Ola on me on the back end? No, 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 no. I would look at that. I'd say, no, thank you, my friend. I'm not falling for the banana in the tailpipe. That would be my rationale. This leads to another question. Who do you punish in a situation like this? Obviously, Elrod loses his job. And if no one else was working with him at Wake Forest, you're not going to blame anyone else. But can you blame Petrino for accepting that information? Any team that's found to have accepted that information, can you fine them? Can you suspend them? Can you take away scholarships?
I don't know.
Can that position be punished?
I don't know how much you can punish it, but certainly for Bobby Petrino, this is another notch on the holster of bad deeds, at the very least. You referenced the motorcycle crash that he lied about. Turned out he had his mistress on the bike with him, and it was a whole controversy that was woven around a bunch of lies. And now you have a case where he was asked point blank if they got the information, and he said no. And so he's lied again about this. So for Bobby Petrino, you're just exposing him for his pattern of behavior. As for the school, there's got to be something written into the conference bylaws about sportsmanship and, you know, collegial behavior, treating each other with respect. To accept this would violate such a clause, and I'm sure it's in the bylaws of the league.
Can't punish a school, though. And that's an individual. That's his morals, his values. Unfortunately, I just think as a school, you can't for you hire coaches and you think that they're going to be good enough to do the right thing. So for you to go and say, I'm going after this school, taking away scholarships for them hiring this guy, you're looking at his resume, and that's why you make the hire. You don't know what this guy's doing behind closed doors. And so I think it's kind of hard just to say, I'm punishing the school. I think you punish the individual. I think you necessarily maybe suspend the coach if something like this happens. But it's hard, Joe. If you find $1 million or if you find $100 on the street, you're going to, hey, I got $100. I'm going to go find who this belonged to. I mean, come on. But now if you find $1 million or it's $5 million, you ain't just going to say, oh, I got this. You're going to look around. It's a different feeling because it's so much. And you're like, man, that conviction, if it's $100, you're going to pick it up and going to walk. But if it's a bag with $5 million, you might say, you know what? This is too much. I'm going to go and do the right thing. I just think that's how people work and operate.
I like your logic about punishing the school. I follow the logic. It's sound logic. But think about Penn State. 99, and I know that's a dramatic example, but 99% of the people punished in that situation had nothing to do with anything. It was all the kids who came in later. It was the scholarship losses. It was the school, the university, different individuals. Yeah, people at the heart of the matter were punished. But outside of that, the sanctions that were handed down were to a bunch of individuals that had nothing to do with anything. So you have to keep that in mind. Also, if Jimbo Fisher is going to get a $20,000 fine following, and that's the head coach at Florida State, if he's going to get a $20,000 fine from the ACC after criticizing the officiating at the end of the Clemson game, which he had some bones to pick there, rightfully so if you watch that game. But if you're going to hit him for $20,000 for comments about officiating, what do you do here? What do you do? And for Louisville, quite frankly, you knew what you were getting with Bobby Petrino. You shouldn't be surprised by any of this. This guy's got a track record. So think about that as you're rolling around today. As a Raider fan, that information comes across, you're turning it down. I mean, think about this. One win, 19 yards away from beating the Kansas City Chiefs and having sole possession of the AFC West, as well as a first-round bye and potential number one seed. You wouldn't accept that information? There's a lot of money at stake. What if it was Clemson and Louisville, as Dibs alluded to? You could get the Clemson playbook. That's the difference between a 14 playoff, possible national championship, millions of dollars, and all that free publicity for recruits. It's an interesting concept.
It really is.
Labor peace has been reached in the collective bargaining agreement. Interesting twist as to how the NBA and MLB do their business versus the NFL. The Warriors and an interesting poll question all coming up next. Jolo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Predictably so, the conversation during the break went completely off the rails, so we're going to go ahead and bring it on air for you. And if you want to weigh in, go ahead.
Which one? Holy cow.
You're walking down the street. Yeah, there were actually several.
Whew.
We're going to focus in on one that's palatable for
Thank
radio.
You. Thank
we'll call
you,
it digestible.
Joseph.
This is a digestible conversation. The other is not so much.
Please explain.
You're walking down the street. Let's say it's the walk I take in here. It's about a mile walk from right around the ballpark, China Basin area, here to the station. It's 3:30 in the morning, and there are very few people on the street. You come across a briefcase that's open. There's $1 million inside. What do you do?
Marked bills or unmarked bills?
How do you know?
Just cash.
You're just going to look in and be like, oh, yeah, I recognize these serial numbers. Yeah, I'm not touching this. It's $1 million. It's right there. You got the briefcase in front of you. You look around. No one sees you. Or maybe someone's looking up in the window. Who knows?
Right.
What do you do with $1 million? Do you keep walking? Do you pick it up and take it? Do you pick it up and take it and turn it in? What are you doing in that spot, Loneal?
Wrong. God sees you, Joe. God sees you.
Okay.
If I had an amen button, I would have hit it. But all I have is applause.
Now, honestly, Joe, I'm looking around.
God's got better things to worry about than my walk in the morning.
Lorenzo, that's not yours, son. Son.
The sky just parts. Right. Lorenzo, I've been good to you.
Exactly.
16 years in the NFL, Lorenzo.
No, you know
High school athlete of the year in the state of California. You do not do this.
No, you know what I do, Joe? If I seen it, I'd fall on my knees and say, lift my hands up and say, hallelujah, thank you for the blessing. No, but
you honestly, beat him to the punch, right. Thank him. And then he's like, no, that's not for you.
Exactly.
Whoa, I already thanked you, God.
I said thank you.
Yeah. Isn't that what the book teaches?
No, I would look around. The first thing I'd do, I was look around and see if I'm on hidden camera. I see if someone trying to set me up. True friend.
Where's Ashton Kutcher is what you're
right, exactly. And then the second thing I'd do, because I wouldn't want anyone else to find it, I'd grab it, and I would call my attorney, and I would say, look, make sure you meet me at the police station, because I want to make sure you make sure I get this money back if no one claims it. I would make sure that I turn it in, but at the same sense, I promise I want that money, and I promise I'll have an attorney with me say, look, you guys make sure this money, this is my client's money, so I'm going to make sure, Joe, that I try to get that money back.
So
I would do that.
Essentially, what you're going to try to do is legally obtain that money.
Yes.
You want the money.
Yes.
But you're going to try to go about the proper channels.
Yes.
Because the text line is weighing in, 408, and I don't know if this is a lawyer. I don't know if this is my younger brother. I don't know if this is a guy passing the street this morning that had his pants around his ankles. Who knows?
Oh.
But it says, turn it in. If no one claims it within a certain time frame, it's legally yours. I don't know if I necessarily trust Uncle Sam to just turn $1 million.
That's why I got
to
bring my attorney.
Dibs, what are you doing?
It's simple. Three words, Joe. Scoop and score. You ever see an offensive lineman pick up that fumble at the 20? It's awkward at first. He bends over slowly. He's not sure if he can get it, but eventually he gets his hands around it. And then by the time he rights himself up, there's a glance right, there's a glance left. You see the end zone in front of you,
yeah.
And then you got to let the big boy run low. I wouldn't run away from the scene. I would slowly stroll away and think, you know what? I'm going to have to think long and hard about whether or not I turn this in. Is there a die pack? Are the bills marked? Is there some old lady's driver's license? You know, because it might be her life savings, and maybe she fell into a manhole. Who knows? Three words, though, Joe. Keep it simple. Scoop and score.
From the 510, this is Sal in Fremont. Lowe would take it. Then try to get free lunch later from Joe and Diggs.
Yes. Yes.
From the 510, I would turn that $200K into the police.
Nah, very good.
Yeah. That's a good one.
See, I'm not even thinking about turning it in. The scoop and score concept, I'm picking it up.
Yeah.
I'm looking around. Not so that, I'm being watched. I can pick that up. Who says I can't? I'm worried that belongs to the mafioso or another individual of ill repute, and that I'm not going to be dealing with the government or the police. I'm going to be dealing with someone who takes matters into their own hands.
Right.
The movie, I was telling you about this in the break, A Simple Plan.
Sure.
Which takes place up in like Minnesota. Bill Paxton, Billy Bob Thornton, a couple country bumpkins. They're out in the woods. They're hunting. They come across a plane crash, private plane. Two dead bodies from the pilots and like $5 or $10 million in cash.
Wow.
So they take the cash. They stash it. There's three of them involved in this. And the plan starts to slowly unravel with the decision-making process. Then two individuals come to town posing as FBI agents. These are the other drug dealers who are looking for their money. That's what I'd be concerned with. I'd probably scoop that $1 million like Dibs is talking about, take it home, stash it, maybe take out a safety deposit box or whatever, and then I just wait. Not for the police or anything. I would wait and monitor the news. But yeah, that money's mine. I'm not even thinking proper channels like you.
Really?
And neither are you. You're scooping and scoring. Hey, come on.
I'm scared. two friends. I mean, or I'd be like,
I'm scared of the mafia. You're scared of the law.
Yeah.
Both very scary if you're doing something wrong, but you're not necessarily, are you really committing a crime? It's just sitting there. No one's around. You're going to pick it up and take it home. What's the difference between that and a TV sitting out on the corner that someone's throwing out after Christmas, some old TV or something? You come by, you pick that up and leave. You don't have to turn that in. Obviously, if there's no sign, sometimes it says, you know, free, take it, whatever.
Right. It'd just be different, man. Trust me, if it's a couple hundred bucks, I'm scooping, scoring, like you guys said, I'm rolling. It's $1 million, man. I just think that, I don't know. It'd be hard. I'd be nervous.
From one.
I'm with you.
I'd be excited.
What
would you do?
I would actually do the same thing. I was thinking the same thing, that I would turn it in but make sure that they had my information. But I like the idea of bringing a lawyer along, too.
Hell yeah.
To be like, okay, let me make sure that if nobody claims this, I get this money.
Right.
So
I think you would turn it in and go, here you go, I found this in the street, and then just turn around and walk away.
So nice and bubbly.
You wouldn't even consider keeping it.
You would be scared, bro. You wouldn't. I don't think you would just
say. Oh, I'd be scared.
You would.
Look, $1 million. Life-changing money. Let me go give it to somebody else. Get the hell out of here. I would take a portion of that and donate it to charities and do something to help society, but the rest of that's mine. I'm keeping it, and I'm hoping a hitman or a drug dealer or someone who probably lost that money, because I find it hard to believe a man of great respect left $1 million laying on the street. So I'm hoping no one comes looking for me.
It was an old lady's life savings, Joe.
I'll just pretend it's drug money. I'll be able to sleep at night. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Brad Evans in about 7 minutes with all your fantasy answers. If you're calling with a question, 888-957-9570, guess what? That means you're in the fantasy playoffs. Congratulations. GOAT has you covered. All right, another question. Take your pick poll question brought to you by FH Daily and Novato Chevrolet. Anna, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. Now, today is the birthday of someone who shall not be named. I'm not talking about a Harry Potter character.
You can go ahead and say it.
All right, happy birthday, Joe Fortenbaugh.
Thank you very much. Yay. I appreciate
Jody.
It. It's very nice of you.
So,
that's applause.
Oh, I had the boo track ready. Go ahead, Anna.
Well, since it's
this
Joe
is why
Fortenbaugh's,
I don't like birthdays.
So this is Joe Fortenbaugh birthday question. It's perfect for him.
The crowd's against him, man. I can't help it.
No problem. What is the worst birthday tradition? Is it singing happy birthday, a celebration at the workplace, or the realization that you're getting older? Go to 957thegame.com to vote. Also go to Twitter at 957thegame and vote there. Use the hashtag take your pick.
It's a good question today.
It's right? The singing. It's
is
not
it?
Even. I'll lead it off. It is absolutely the singing. I hate the singing. You sit there and everyone's staring at you singing some song. Now, if you're 8, I get it. I'm 36. I don't need to come home and have everyone standing around singing a song. Let's just eat. Let's just relax. Let's have a good time. Why are we singing songs? I hate that. I hate that moment. Everything about it. That's my pick. Dibs.
Cody, go ahead and cancel our 9:45 sing-along for Jody. Wait, you heard that? That was on Talkback. The worst.
When we first went on air, 1 week on air 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Is my birthday because we launched December 8th. Anna was a part of this. They all tried to sing happy birthday. I was ready to walk out of the studio and quit this job.
One week on air, I was ready
to quit this job and leave. I was like, forget these people.
I love
Why are we singing on air? Let's talk sports.
As the old man on the show here, and it's hard for me to even say that, it's the realization that you're getting older. 36 is still, you're still in the peak years. When you get to be my age and you kind of look back at the peak years and you slowly see them, objects in the rearview mirror are further away than you really think. It becomes your life. You know, you're looking in the mirror. It's like, whoa, that can't be my 30s. It can't be that far behind me. So it's the realization for me.
Loneil?
Probably the realization. It is. When you go to the gym and things you used to be able to do and you could shake yourself or your body and could react a certain way and now take you shake and you keep shaking and you keep shaking and you're like, oh my God, you feel like Samson. Nothing's there. And
Samson from Half Baked?
Ralph Samson.
I
want
to talk
Virginia
to Samson. Climb it to the moon with them $10 grams.
And you feel like, man, I'm losing my power. And it's hard when you go from, you know, 530, 540 bench and
oh, come on. Just you can leave the details out.
You're asking me so I was
You know, I went from 500 on the bench to 450. It's and
awful,
it's like,
Joe.
Man, my
it's
life,
awful.
It's all for nothing. I wasted everything. Let me go home to my really nice house and beautiful wife and beautiful children and
Why
money in the bank.
I
got that extra million that's waiting for me at the police station to get cleared by my lawyer.
That's right.
What about you?
Yeah.
You're a bit younger. Are you,
well, thank you.
In the camp of the the morbid thoughts that can come in your mind, the mortality, so
yeah,
to speak?
After celebrating a few 29th birthdays, I'm going to have to say the realization of getting older, especially as a woman, it's a little bit different also, not just in mortality, but, you know, just you're not the same as you used to be.
Right.
But, you know, it's fun. I still love everything about birthdays, though. I love the singing. I love the celebration. Yeah, but the realization of getting older.
Yes, it's the implications that we all love birthdays, but the poll question is
obviously
we got to find
don't.
One thing. It's not that I don't like it. It's just I don't see the relevance in necessarily celebrating it. For children, yes. And at 16 and 15 and a half dibs,
yep.
your son gets you get to go for the license. It's a big moment. 18, you can vote. Technically, you're an adult. Although not in this day and age.
Right.
Let's be honest. 30 should be the age. And then at 21, you can legally drink. Although if you're like me, you've probably had about 5 good years under your belt by that point. But once you get past that, I don't see the need. Like, you wake up today, it's another day. It's very nice that you recognize it, but it's just, I don't get the whole celebration. What did I accomplish that we're celebrating? My parents had sex 9 months prior to the date,
wow.
And then I showed up and everyone, oh, congratulations, we got to celebrate you today. I didn't actually do anything.
No, but it's nice for one day out of 365, and in my case, my half birthday as well, which, by the way, is coming up in February. But for that one day, you get to feel special, Joe, and you know what? You are loved, and you should have that time, even if it's only just one segment.
This is what's wrong with this country. We always need to feel special about everything.
Just one day, Joey.
Some days you just go to work and you put in the work and then you go home. That's it. They don't only need to celebrate everything.
You don't like the feelings, Joe?
The feelings? The feelings?
You know
all
feelings.
The feelings.
What about the million Facebook happy birthdays that you get on?
No, because then you got to respond to everybody. And then the next day you need to make an announcement about how loved you felt and what a special day it was. Thank you so much. You all mean so much. It's a whole thing. It's just adding more to the plate.
I don't like birthdays for that reason, Joe, what you're talking about. It's just, for me, it was always, I'm like Skip. I really didn't have anything because it's December 27th. Christmas is already done, so you get the 2-for-1.
Yeah.
And now in my house, we've got twin girls. There's December 22nd. Mine's the 27th. So I get nothing.
So there's Christmas.
Forgotten.
There's the daughters, which are always going to be ranked above
Absolutely.
You. There's the new year coming up on the 31st.
It was bad.
And you're just, there's Lo Neal.
Growing up, it wasn't a premium for me. My other sisters and brothers have the bar. Who's coming over for day after Christmas?
Nobody.
Here's who's coming over the day after Christmas. The GOAT. Brad Evans, Yahoo Fantasy Sports. All your questions next. Light them up. 888-957-9570. Jolo and Dibs, we're back in a minute.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.